I'm Angeline Hartman. I'm a veteran crime reporter now working at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. I use my media expertise to help families and law enforcement seek answers. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. A big thank you for sharing the new age progression image of Timothy Pitson. I appreciate all of your feedback, and I encourage you to keep spreading the word. You can go to my website, insidecrime.org, to see more about this case. Now, if you're listening and you missed last week's episode, please stop right now, go back to episode 36, and start there for the first episode in this series. When we left off last week, Amy Pitson was found dead in a Rockford motel room. Police said it looked like a crime scene. Amy had slashed her wrists and then her throat. There was no sign of six-year-old Timothy, but there was a suicide note.
The note she left in the hotel room was apologetic for what she did and the mess she made and stuff and that. Yeah, and he is alive and safe. That's the big message, Eric. He's alive and safe, but you're never going to find him.
Timothy is safe. You're never going to find him. To Jim Pitson, his wife's message was clear. She didn't want Timothy to be with his father after she was gone.
And so that's kind of where this mystery really takes off, because, you know, what does that mean? And that's been the dying question in this case.
Lieutenant Greg Spaeth is with the Aurora Police Department, the agency in charge of this investigation. Remember, it was May 11th, 2011, a Wednesday, when Amy suddenly picked up Timothy from school. Jim, Timothy's dad, had no idea.
You know, they had Jim Pitson and his wife. It had, you know, had some marital issues that were going on, and Amy had some, you know, some depression issues that she was suffering with as well at the time. So, you know, when this occurred and Amy took Timothy out of school, kind of unannounced like that, Jim was thinking, you know, hey, she's just out with him somewhere, she'll be back. But then when she didn't return the next morning, obviously that alarmed him and made him call the police and got us involved in the case.
Jim says he called the police after Amy and Timothy didn't come home the night before. But that's not all. He told me he also made an unexpected discovery that Thursday morning.
I didn't really know anything till probably the next morning when I opened the cabinet and seen that she didn't take her medication with her. So, and I counted the two full jars of pills that she took every day that were sitting there in the cabinet. So she was taking a daily medication for depression. She took Lexapro and Wellbutrin. And times before, she goes, I forgot my pills. I'm going to get a little off till I get back home and get my medication. She'd change a little bit and be a little more far away or distant towards me and stuff. But after they did the autopsy, the toxicologist came back that there was no Wellbutrin or Lexapro in her system at all. And from what they tell me, that takes 30 to 90 days for that all to work its way out. So she hadn't been taking her pills for her medication for a long time, I guess.
That autopsy info added some insight. But at the time, when Amy and Timothy were first missing, family members and police had little to go on. I talked with Lieutenant Spaeth about what they discovered. Together, we break down the official timeline.
You know, she left Aurora after picking Timothy up from Greenman School, where Timothy went to school. And it appears that they drove to a town called LaGrange, Illinois, where they dropped off her car to get fixed. And we were able to track her there and Timothy there as well. And from there, we were able to determine that the mechanics or the people at the shop actually drove the two of them to the Brookfield Zoo, which is in Brookfield, Illinois, where they spent the day there waiting for the car to get fixed. We know that she returned, or they picked her up at the zoo. They returned, picked up the car. And then the next time we pick them back up is when they're checking into what's called the Key Lime Cove, which is in Gurnee, Illinois. And it's a water park.
And how far is Gurnee from Aurora?
I would say that's probably a good hour from Aurora getting up to Gurnee. So they made that trip and they checked in on the 11th, May 11th of 2011 at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just before 4 p.m. And they spent the night there at the Key Lime Cove. And on Thursday the 12th, we observed them both on video leaving and checking out of the Key Lime Cove in the morning time.
The hotel video, right?
Right. The hotel video, we were able to get that. And it shows them both, you know, checking out at the
counter. Everything seems fine.
Everything seems fine. Timothy's with her, and that's about 9 o'clock in the morning. And from there, we don't pick them back up again until they're up in the Kalahari Resort, which is in Wisconsin. So that was up in the Wisconsin Dells area of Wisconsin. And then we don't pick them up again until about on the 12th at about 3:45 in the afternoon, and we show them on video there at the resort checking in. Again, Timothy's with her. The both of them are seen on video together, and they appear fine together. Then from there, I believe they check out the following morning, which is the 13th of May, and they're seen again on video about 10 o'clock in the morning checking out. Both of them appear fine, checking out at the desk.
At this point, family and friends had not heard from Amy since she picked up Timothy 2 days before. Finally, at about 12:30 p.m., she began making calls. One of them was to her mom, Alana Anderson.
Well, the last time I talked to her, as I said, was on Friday, and she just, you know, we just talked, and I told her I loved her, and I really wanted her to come home, that everyone was so worried and concerned. And she said, okay, Mom. Okay, Mom. But that was it.
That was it. Alana told me it seemed like a normal conversation, except for the part that no one actually knew where Amy and Timothy were at that point. Amy also called Jim's brother Chuck. If you'll remember, in last week's episode, he talked in detail about their conversation. Chuck says he reached out to Amy like several other relatives did. It was a big surprise when she called him back.
I just want to go back to when Amy finally called you that Friday. Why do you think she called you?
I think she called me so I could actually talk to Tim, and so she could convince me that he's fine. And I talked to him, and
he seemed happy.
He seemed happy.
Both Alana and Chuck reported back to the family that Amy and Timothy seemed fine. Until now, everyone was getting worried as more time had passed.
But she was able to convince them that everything was fine and that, you know, that Timothy was okay.
Because at this point, she realizes that they've been reported as missing, I believe.
That's correct, right.
Which is why she's calling them to say, hey, we're okay.
Correct, yep. And then and the family members actually felt okay after having, you know, the conversation with them and being able to hear them, and it sounded as though everything was fine at that point. But then really at that point is where she takes the, you know, proverbial fork in the road, because we can determine through phone records that it looked like she was heading back south on what's I-39 in Illinois, which links up to I-88, which links, if you head west or if you head back east, it'll take you to Aurora if you can, or you head west. And it looks from after those phone calls, she didn't head back east to Aurora. She decided to turn back west on 88. And that's the last time you know, we had any contact with her, you know, via phone calls. And that's, you know, the last conversations anyone had with her after that, until she shows up on the videos then in Rockford.
Friday night.
Right. So right after that on the 13th, yeah, she makes her way up to, and the next time we actually see Amy is by herself at a Family Dollar store in Winnebago, Illinois. And that was on the 13th at about 7:30 in the afternoon. And that store is where she purchased, she's observed purchasing a pen, paper, and envelopes. And Timothy is not observed to be with her. And that's the first time that Timothy's not seen on video with her.
At this point, it had been about 6 hours since those phone calls to family. No one knows what happened between 1:30 p.m. to about 7:30 p.m. Where did Amy go? What did she do? What happened to Timothy? The next time she shows up, it's 7:30 and she's alone. As Lieutenant Spaeth said, Amy buys a pen, paper, and envelopes at that Family Dollar store in Winnebago. A short time later, Amy goes to Sullivan's grocery store nearby. There, she buys some crackers and milk. Then, at around 11:30 p.m., Amy checks into the Rockford Motel alone. It's Friday the 13th. The next day, Amy is found dead.
I believe that was about 12:30 in the afternoon on the 14th. Inside the room, they located her, obviously deceased, apparently by suicide. And she had left a note indicating, you know, back in the room, indicating that Timothy was fine and that he was in the care of unknown people.
Amy's note said Timothy was safe. He was with someone who loved him and would never be found. Police say it's possible that Amy gave Timothy to someone, maybe even a family. I've worked closely with Timothy's family for many years now, and I can tell you that they 100% believe that he is out there alive. They have told me over and over again that even though Amy committed suicide, they feel she would have never, ever hurt her own son. I've been asked many times what I think, and I believe the answer is in Amy's own words. As I mentioned earlier, she wrote a total of 3 notes. They are all a little bit different. She left one in that motel room, then mailed one to her friend, and mailed one to her mom.
The police told me on Saturday that she was dead and Tim was gone. And on Monday I got the letter. And it just said, you know, I'm sorry, Mom. I hope you'll be able to forgive me someday. But I just couldn't pick up the pieces again. Tim is safe with a family who will love him and take care of him. She didn't want to leave him with Jim. But I think this utter overwhelming depression and multiple factors in her life falling apart was just too much. She just wanted out, but she wanted to know Tim would be safe somewhere.
What is your theory?
Well, what I hope happened is that Amy found a family that would take him and take good care of him. I've always felt he went out of the country almost immediately. I don't think he's in the United States. I think he's in some white English-speaking country where he would blend in. And hopefully it was a good family and they love him and he's been happy and well cared for.
Coming up on Inside Crime, news that Timothy is alive.
The first reaction was you were just elation. Every amazing feeling that you thought you could feel, like, oh, thank God. You know, thank God. I just can't wait to see him. Thank God. How is he? Where's he been? And then it's beyond belief to think I could see him soon. You know, maybe tomorrow I could give him a hug.
That's coming up on Inside Crime. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. Be sure to check out our website, insidecrime.org, for more information about this case. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of Inside Crime.